Lesson 5. Outcomes. Describe cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Clinically dead, when the patient's heart stops beating and is no longer breathing. Cardiac arrest, when the heart fails to circulate blood through the body, and the cells are not able to receive the oxygen and nutrients needed for survival. Biological death, continued cell death to the point where organs such as the brain, heart, and lungs get irreversibly damaged and cannot be revived. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, the act of physically forcing blood through a patient's body and providing artificial respiration. Cardiac arrest and cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. Cardiac arrest. A patient is considered clinically dead when his or her heart stops beating and is no longer breathing. During this condition, known as cardiac arrest, the heart fails to circulate blood through the body, and cells are not able to receive the oxygen and nutrients they need to survive. In the span of a few minutes, these cells begin to die. If this condition is allowed to continue for much longer, cell death will progress to the point where organs such as the brain, heart, and lungs get irreversibly damaged and cannot be revived. This is known as biological death, and at that point no amount or type of medical intervention can revive the patient. The heart produces electrical impulses that cause it to contract and force blood throughout the body. Heart failure that causes clinical death is in many instances the result of a problem with the heart's ability to produce and/or transmit these impulses. This condition often persists unless an outside electrical stimulus is applied. This outside stimulus is commonly known as defibrillation, Figure 23.24. Advanced-level EMS providers are trained to recognize electrical issues with the heart and manually administer defibrillation and medications that treat these issues. Unfortunately, several minutes could pass for these personnel to arrive on scene. During this time, the patient may have gone from clinical death to biological death. In some instances, the heart's condition may not warrant defibrillation. In others, defibrillation may not resume the heart's function. In this case, outside intervention is needed in order to circulate blood through the body and slow the rate of cellular death. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR, is the act of physically forcing blood through a patient's body and providing artificial respiration. The following sections will highlight how to perform layperson CPR on adults, infants, and children. Layperson CPR gets performed differently than CPR for healthcare providers. In particular, a higher priority gets placed on chest compressions than patient assessment. Keep in mind that this information is provided to satisfy entry requirements for NFPA 1001 and does not take the place of a formal CPR training program. If you are to provide this care, you need to become certified in CPR from your department, the American Heart Association, AHA, and/or Canadian Red Cross. The AHA and Red Cross are considered the standard for CPR training and protocols. Automated external defibrillators. Realizing the importance of early defibrillation, many public facilities such as shopping malls, schools, and airports have automated external defibrillators, AEDs, available for layperson use, Figure 23.25. These devices instruct the layperson on how to use the AED, automatically determine if defibrillation is needed, and notify the user to push a button that delivers the shock. It is also common to find AEDs on fire apparatus that do not carry paramedics and their equipment. If you have an AED available, use it as soon as necessary. All AEDs come with instructions for use. Follow the unit's prompts and instructions and note the results. If the AED is unsuccessful, you should then proceed to manual CPR described in the remaining sections below. Chest compressions. The main component of CPR is chest compression, which is the act of forcefully compressing the heart in order to circulate blood throughout the body, Figure 23.26. Patient survivability during a cardiac arrest improves with early administration of chest compressions. When performed properly, chest compressions compress the heart between the patient's sternum and spine in rapid succession and alter the pressure within the chest, forcing blood from the heart. Chest compressions are performed in different ways and at different rates and depths, depending on the age of the patient. Note, if at any time during CPR an AED becomes available, interrupt chest compressions to attach the AED. The AED will analyze the patient. After analysis, follow the prompts from the AED. Chest compressions, the act of forcefully compressing the heart in order to circulate blood throughout the body. Administering chest compressions. Events of cardiac arrest are extremely stressful for all persons involved because the event is typically unexpected. When arriving at the scene of a cardiac arrest, CPR may or may not already be in progress. Your first priority after donning appropriate PPE is to determine the condition of the patient. While CPR is a life-saving intervention, it should not be administered to those who have signs of irreversible death. If there are no obvious signs, better trained personnel should make determinations about the death of a victim. Signs of irreversible death may include rigor mortis. Obvious wounds not compatible with life, such as decapitation. Decomposition. The techniques identified in this chapter are for layperson CPR. As such, there is a greater emphasis on providing chest compressions than providing ventilation. Therefore, rescue breathing will not be addressed in this chapter. The American Heart Association provides reviewed and endorsed research that shows compression-only CPR is extremely effective and still provides some air movement into and out of the lungs. Full CPR incorporates chest compressions and rescue breathing. Most emergency responders are certified in CPR to the Basic Life Support, BLS, for healthcare providers level. It is critical that you attend and obtain certification from a formal CPR training course provided through your jurisdiction, the American Red Cross, or the American Heart Association. The following sections will detail chest compression administration for adults, children, and infants. Chest compressions for adults. Upon arrival for a suspected cardiac arrest, it is critical to identify the patient and determine the patient's status. The first determination should be the patient's consciousness. Gently shaking or tapping the patient and asking them for a verbal response can determine consciousness, figure 23.27. If there is no physical or verbal response, determine if the patient has a pulse. If no pulse can be found at the carotid arteries within 10 seconds, chest compressions should be started. The communication center should be notified of the condition and any additional resources needed. When performing chest compressions on an adult, the patient must first be lying on their back on a hard surface. A patient who is lying on a bed should be moved to the floor. Performing chest compressions on someone lying on a soft surface is typically ineffective. Next, find the correct location to administer compressions. This location is in the center of the patient's chest between the nipples, figure 23.28. To perform compressions, place one hand on top of the other and complete the following steps. With the victim on his or her back, tilt the victim's head back to open his or her airway. Straighten arms and lock elbows. Elbows should remain locked while performing compressions. Align your shoulders directly over your hands. This ensures that compressions are delivered straight down, figure 23.29. Press straight down on the chest hard enough to depress the sternum 2 to 2.5 inches, 50 to 60 millimeters, but no farther. While it may be difficult to judge the depth of compression, compressing to a greater depth may potentially harm the patient, figure 23.30. Lift up to release the compression. The chest should recoil completely when you lift up to allow the heart to fill itself. However, keep your elbows locked at all times and do not remove the hands from the compression location. Chest compressions should be administered quickly and firmly at a rate of 100 to 120 compressions per minute. Responders should rotate the performance of chest compressions as needed to prevent exhaustion, figure 23.31. Compressions should be continued until the patient moves, begins breathing normally, regains consciousness, or until responders with greater training arrive. Chest compressions should be performed in a firm, rhythmic manner. It should never feel as though you are jabbing at the patient. Note, while performing chest compressions, it is often common to hear or feel a patient's ribs break due to the pressure. While this sensation is not pleasant, it is a sign of quality compressions and should not discourage you from continuing. Chest compressions for children. When arriving on scene for a cardiac arrest involving a child, first determine the patient's status. Gently shake or tap the child to determine if conscious. Speak to the child and listen for a response. If the patient is unresponsive, check for a pulse at the carotid or brachial artery. If no pulse can be found, begin chest compressions. Larger children equals 2 hands. Smaller children equals 1 hand. You should move the patient to the floor or onto a backboard if the patient is not lying on a solid surface. This would be a good time for you or another responder to update dispatch with the condition and request any additional resources that may be needed. Chest compressions are performed on children ages 1 to about 12 in a slightly different manner than on adults. For larger children, rescuers can use 2 hands for chest compression as they would for an adult. For smaller children, rescuers should only use 1 hand to avoid injuring the victim, figure 23.32. On small children, the rescuer's hand should be placed in the center of the chest in line with the patient's nipples. When performing compressions, the patient's chest should be compressed about 1/3 of the depth between the chest and the back or about 2 inches, 50 millimeters. This ensures that adequate blood flow is achieved. Compressions should be administered firmly at a rate of 100 to 120 compressions per minute. Continue administering compressions until the child begins to move, regains consciousness, breathes normally, or rescuers with more complete training arrive. Note, adult techniques should be used on larger children. Chest compressions for infants when responding to a cardiac arrest in an infant patient, less than 1 year old, first determine the patient's status. Most incidences of cardiac arrest in infants are due to airway obstructions. If an obstruction can be seen in the mouth, remove it, figure 23.33. If not, gently shake or tap the child to determine if he or she is conscious, looking for movement or other response. If there is no response, check for a pulse at the brachial artery. If no pulse can be found, check 10 seconds, begin chest compressions. While beginning compressions, have another responder update dispatch on the patient's status and request any additional necessary resources. Chest compressions for infants. Chest compressions for infants are performed with the index and middle fingers of 1 hand, figure 23.34. This allows the chest to be better compressed than with the heel of the hand. As with adults and children, the compressions should be delivered in the center of the chest in line with the patient's nipples. Compressions should be delivered at a rate of 100 to 120 compressions per minute, and the infant's chest should be compressed to 1/3 the depth of the torso, about 1.5 inches, 38 millimeters. Periodically check the patient's mouth to see if any obstructions are present. If so, remove them from the infant's mouth and reassess. Discontinuing CPR. Periodically reassess the patient during CPR to determine if the procedure is working. The main way to determine whether CPR is successful is if the patient regains consciousness or begins to move. Another way is to periodically check for a pulse. If the patient regains consciousness, begins to move, or has a pulse, CPR should be discontinued and the patient should be transported to a definitive care facility. Once CPR is initiated, it should continue until one of the following events occurs. The patient begins to move and/or regains consciousness. The patient has a pulse. The patient breathes. You hand over care to a rescuer with a higher level of training. A medical control physician instructs you to stop. As a rescuer, you must understand the emotional nature of cardiac arrest events. This is especially true if the patient's family or friends are present. When deciding not to begin CPR or when discontinuing CPR without patient response, you may be subject to anger or other emotional responses from bystanders. Speak calmly to family and friends of the deceased and to keep in mind their feelings when discussing the patient with other emergency responders.